Guess that means it's our turn, huh? That finger, that great finger in the sky pointing our way. Good morning, everybody. Today is Tuesday, the 23rd of March. Joining us this morning is St. Bernard's Principals, et cetera, Paul Shanahan. Good morning, et cetera.
Good morning. Good to see you in the flesh.
Yeah. Well, no, they're our clothes.
Well,
don't do that, man. I got enough time trying to be seen as semi-normal. Are you ready for our Ever Wonder Why question?
I'm ready.
Ever wonder why the keys on a typewriter are arranged so strangely, or computer keyboard?
I don't think of it as strange. I think the home row is, there's got to be a lot of logic behind that home row.
Yeah.
So it's got to be frequency of use from home and then out. I think it's all by design. I think it's probably brilliant.
The very first typewriters did not use the present-day key arrangement, but instead used a straight alphabetical design, reading left to right and top to bottom. However, a problem soon arose with this design because it placed the most frequently used keys close together, and when a fast typist used the machine, the printing strokes for these keys would get jammed.
Boom.
Boy, remember that? I just flashed that. I bet you nobody under 35 remembers jammed typewriter keys.
No.
Or the ribbon getting worn out because it didn't reverse back.
Right. Even in high school, I don't know if I was typing fast enough to jam them. I don't.
No, I would hit three at the same time.
Yeah. Perky Roberts was good, but not that good. I didn't break three digits.
To correct the problem, an inventor named Christopher Sholes designed the current arrangement, which places the most frequently used keys further apart.
Nice. Brilliant.
Oh, I've been spending time going through some of the old stuff here, going through... We moved the storage room. I'm going through old stuff. It's amazing how many of the old things are really current today and how many of the old things you got to think about. You go, what was that all about? And try to figure out. You know, it's like there's this chasm in the middle. Mm-hmm. Do you guys have any of the old records on campus?
I think I've mentioned before my grandfather's 1921 report cards right across from my office. So I get to go and, you know, it's, we've got photographs. It's thinking back to 1912 and then what was carried over, just yesterday for some people. But yeah, it's pretty amazing.
What do you do with it? Are you display it? Have history day? I mean, I know we're small enough. We're just going to have a couple shadow boxes out and throw it on the website and call it done, put the stuff away somewhere so it doesn't fall apart, and then the kids can either chase it or grandkids down the road can revisit some of these things.
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of local history that's you don't want to lose. You don't want to lose it. And the sisters that served in our community, whether in our hospitals or in the schools, early in the century, you want to remember their names. You don't just want their picture. You want to remember their names. And so that's been part of our goal is to, capture some of the stories while people are still, alive to talk about them. Yeah.
Now, you have yearbooks.
We do.
Which help to document some of that. Do you have a master book?
We don't have a master book. We have a historian, Kathy Mayer, who spent her student life, her professional life, and now her retired life at St. Bernard's is our historian. So she does an excellent job of holding all that information and building binders and capturing each year. So there's kind of that additional... the clippings, the news clippings, that sort of thing. She's really good about capturing that.
Do the kids ever look at it or ask? Or
yeah, she, as you come into the school, she has created kind of a history board. So you do get, you walk by it. And again, when you're 16, 17, trying to get through your day, you're really not looking back to 1946 too often, right? So, but that doesn't mean we should, hold on to the history.
Yeah, I think it's the old pictures of the building.
Oh, yeah.
Or if there's pictures of the construction going on.
Right, right, right.
Things that are really, you're still tangible.
We have, right. So last year, there's this beautiful architectural drawing of the original. It was three-story convent, three-story school, right on Senior Lawn, where Senior Lawn is now. And so that's in the front.
It was, or it was a architectural of what would have been?
Oh, no, it was, it was right there.
There was
right
a three,
here.
That's why that cement wall is there? There was a, so, was part of the foundation?
Right, behind that I'll send you a picture. It was a beautiful building, nice curved driveway, just gorgeous.
What happened?
Well, they you know, time goes on, and after 40 or 50 years, you upgrade to what we're in now.
Yeah,
and
well, we so have these things called Victorians. They weren't built 25 years ago, though.
Right, so imagine your Victorian was built in the middle of Albee Stadium. Okay. How would that work out? You'd probably move it. Yeah, yeah, yeah. So it's encroached on the football field, soccer field, baseball field. You know, it was right in the middle of the
word.
Great for piano lessons. Not so great for no. Yeah, and I think the modern convent that was built at that time, you know, they were very excited to move into the modern convent that's now our international dormitory. So, right. You know, progress, things change. You just can't hold on to it forever.
I'll bet some of us will go down trying.
You are a history guy.
Oh, that would be interesting because the thing that I get out of it, and I was looking at some stuff for a transmitter that hasn't been around here for 30 years. But the footprint is still there. There's still signs of what it was and kind of clues of something to be able to at least connect. The reason that this is this way is because of dun-dun-dun, this.
Right.
And just kind of bring it all together a little bit more. It to me, is it kind of solves the mysteries before you really kind of get lost in things.
Mm-hmm. And for us, that's the ghosts, you know, of Sisters Past and the piano music you hear playing. You know, in the middle of the night.
Right. Yeah, exactly. Now, was the church any different, or is that the one constant?
So, yeah, the church is right around 1912 as well. So, okay. Yeah, yeah. So the church, yep, lasted longer than the school.
So was the convent original. Of the same style, the original one?
No, it's like twin buildings connected. So
okay.
Nice, tall, wooden structure school, nice, tall, wooden structure convent.
Nice. Commercial break. It's
8:19. Listen to 980 AM for the best music. ABBA, Neil Diamond, Barbara Streisand, Billy Joel, and the Fifth Dimension. The all-time best are heard every day, all day long on 980 AM. We are Easy Radio. Easy on your ears and easy on your mind. This is memory-making music, and you'll love the memories you create. Tune in and hear the best music. Easy Radio, 980 AM.
Good morning, KINS, News and Information Times, 8:24. We're back talking shop this morning with Paul Shanahan. Plenty of notes so far, huh?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I can't get through them.
Yeah. How's everybody holding up? You guys, you know, the circus tent is a little bit different than what we see at a lot of the other high schools.
Yeah.
Air conditioning, I suspect, is probably not a major concern at this point. But you've been able to take advantage of the weather. And do some things that because of the facility. Is everybody still kind of getting along and having fun, or are things starting to kind of get a little old?
Good question. The kids have really enjoyed being in person since August. And the teachers, after that initial, you know, what's going to happen August, September, settled into a rhythm, and they've just worked so hard to make everything good for the kids. Parents are appreciative. It does feel a little bit, you know, here we are in – what, almost April playing football. We're going to start volleyball this week. So there is this cycle you have with schools.
Wait a minute. I've come out of practice and it's sunny? What's this about?
Or rainy. I mean, you know the weather in Humboldt.
Sure.
It's not so much the weather. It's that you're out at a soccer game and it's March and you know you'll be hopefully at a basketball and game in May. And so that rhythm of the year is off, you know, which luckily, you know, we're able to fit in the sports, but the fact that we're fitting them all in the final 10 weeks of the school year with daily testing for all indoor sports.
Yeah, and finals, yeah.
So, and by testing, I mean we have to actually test the kids for COVID every single
day. So do you do the forehead tap kind of thing? Is that?
No, it's the swab. It's in-school swab. Yeah, thanks to Katie Cavanaugh at HCOE. She got all the schools up and running last week so that we could have football. You know, we had to test every football player in the county before we played.
One of the opportunities for the smaller schools is kids to be able to play multiple sports.
Right.
Okay. Now, that presumes staggered seasons.
Well, not only...
you play football Friday night, and then you play baseball Saturday, and then...
So, Dr. Hoffman...
Tuesday, you got a basketball game?
So, Thursday, our commissioner will speak with public health, because right now, in Humboldt, we're not allowed to do more than one cohort of sports. There are many counties where you can. And so, even though there is overlap, for example, with volleyball starting, it would be great to allow a kid to play a couple of volleyball games and some soccer. But right now, that is prohibited. So the hope is...
So the kids have to pick and choose?
They have to pick, yeah. Which is going to hurt some programs, especially at the smaller schools that depend on that little overlap. For us, it'd be three kids that would play both. And that's how you get your teams to run and be a little bit more competitive, is that, you know, those little extra, you know, kids on the squad.
And then, of course, you got the coaches politicking.
Well,
yeah, it'd be, you know, natural, right? They want to have the best team out on the field.
Well, yeah, and it's just been the culture at St. Bernard's forever that we share our athletes, because that's how you know, we're able to run all the programs. Well, because we share our athletes. Other programs are a little bit more restrictive, and you know, you choose one who you choose, you know, and that's makes sense when you're in a large system. We're not a large system, so we want, you know, 80-90% of our kids doing at least one sport, and multiple sports are great.
But now you're also integrating in their final senior tests, placement tests, things of that nature.
Yeah.
This compression that's going on.
Is real.
I don't think that there's going to be a lot of senioritis this year.
They're so hopeful. They're lobbying for dances. They're lobbying for, any, you know, we're going to do a senior retreat right after graduation. And, of course, the kids are on board with that. So anything that feels normal. Seniors are after that. You know, they want that taste. And again, sports is a huge piece of that high school experience.
Now, when you say normal.
Yes.
Okay. There were changes going on before this time last year, just regular changes. When you go back to.
There's no going back, Brian. Well, here's a historian.
Let me say it differently. When the tent is gone.
Okay.
What are some of the changes that you're going to implement that have been understood and are kind of routine now rather than being exceptional?
I think the ability for a kid that's a little bit under the weather to still come to class remotely. I mean, that idea that, hey, or you're traveling, and for whatever reason, maybe mom's got a conference, and so the family has an opportunity to go to Hawaii, so you all go to Hawaii. Well, now, I mean, there's no reason not to stop connecting kids remotely. It's that easy to, you know, bring them in the class, and they're just a digital screen there, you know, the front of the room watching or interacting. So that piece will save, I think, some missed opportunities and open things up as well. I think the, yeah, air filtration systems will keep, you know, fresh air has been great. I mean, the attendance, I mean, staff's been really healthy. Kids have been really healthy. You know, the hand washing, sanitation piece has been pretty effective across the board, not just with COVID.
Yeah, so I would suspect that there's now a connection on why you do that. Yeah, before, right? You know,
right.
If you didn't have dirt on your hands, yeah, I took care of it.
Right.
Now there's a
connection.
Yeah, as
we've seen the flu numbers just drop off the table, it's like, oh, okay, yeah, this stuff matters.
Yeah, what a shocker. has the spirit of the school altered, or is it? Tight? Yeah. How's that one happen?
Yeah, we're lucky enough to have Joey Dugan, our ASB president, and just a team of great seniors that have maintained, you know, whether it's dressing up for St. Patrick's Day, raising, you know, food money and food for local food banks. He's going to even do a 24-hour run around the school with our math teacher over Easter to raise money for the math department. So there's this
chasing? Or being chased. Yeah.
This whole running thing, it always confuses me, but that's a lot of laps around the school.
You know, it always confused me too. That's why I kind of stayed away from it.
So, yeah, with dress up days and spirit days, and, you know, we even squeezed in a couple rallies, and, you know, we're doing the best we can under unusual circumstances.
It's 8:30.
Hey, community. Times are rough right now, Retail shops may be closing, but the bulk flower market is still open and moving fast. We here at Bayer can help turn your flower harvest into cash today. Call Bayer Extraction House at 707-693-2222. That's 707-693-2222. Don't miss out. It is time to sell. Bayer Extraction House, your flower selling powerhouse.
Good morning, KINS, News and Information Time. It's 8:36. We're back talking shop this morning with Paul Shanahan from St. Bernard's Catholic School.
Academy, St. Bernard's Academy.
Yeah, okay.
Sixth grade through 12th grade now with a preschool. Let's go on. It's a span.
Talk shop presented by CDH Painting, Redeck, Humboldt Termite and Pest Control, Murphy's Markets, and Baywood Golf and Country Club. What's been the experience of the youngers versus the olders in this? I mean, obviously you're doing it differently because
right.
There's different procedures that the junior high school kids go mm-hmm. through versus a high school.
So normally at St. Bernard's, if you're a high-flying junior high math student, you're taking math classes with high school students. And so with the cohort limitations, what's different this year is 6th grade, 7th grade, 8th grade, they're in 9th grade even, they're their own cohort. So if you're a 6th grader, you're used to hanging out with your grade level, and that makes sense, and there's no real push against that, and you've got plenty of friends. But if you're a 9th grader, well, hey, high school is about upperclassmen. High school is about, yeah, reaching forward. And so I think that's been the difference. For junior high, that middle school has felt pretty normal. You know, they're getting their breaks/recesses.
Right.
But then for your, you know, I think the freshmen, it's worked. I mean, they haven't had to quarantine once, knock on wood, all year. But they're not getting that.
The real interaction.
Yeah, they're usually at that point really mixed in with upperclassmen, and you know, so that's where it's happening with sports. But sports happen so late, you know. Here it is, you know, the last third of the year, and that's now they're connecting in a way with their upperclassmen.
Graduation days changing at all, or are you still trying to stick to the same
calendar?
Yeah, well,
we're lucky enough. We've been, you know, in school 5 days a week, which a lot of systems can't say. And so, yeah, we've been able to meet all the expectations for a traditional school year. And so, yeah, we'll graduate early June, and no plans for summer school except for some remediation, you know, for a handful, maybe 10
None kids. Of the fun classes?
Yeah, the fun classes happen all the time. I mean, we're...
Oh, sorry.
Yeah, come on.
Yeah.
Yeah, come on. Yeah. Every class is a
AP
fun class.
AP math, that's a fun class.
It
I'm sorry,
class.
I forgot. Yeah. Huh?
You know, and that's a good point. Part of our identity are field trips and getting out in the community, and that was limited to start the year, but that's opened up as well. You know, so the field trips are happening, and that it's part of making a hard science fun is getting out.
Yeah, real world stuff.
Real world
instead
stuff.
Instead of textbook
yeah.
stuff.
Yeah.
So what about some of the supplies? You know, we hear about supplies being tough. You know, the vaccines are one. We just got a part that was supposed to be here early November.
Mm-hmm.
Are you able to get the school supplies?
We've been really lucky. And there's been some state disbursements of protective equipment. All the Medify filtration systems that we ordered, we tended to get them within a week. I'm trying to think of, there may have been a delay of maybe one set of textbooks, but for the most part, the shipping's been fine, supply's been fine.
You mentioned computers earlier, Paul, about, you know, everybody now has that ability. It's one thing to have it, it's one thing to maintain it.
Right.
And upgrade it.
Yeah.
You know, you talk to some of the computer guys, if it's more than 3 weeks old, it needs to be replaced. Okay. And others of us say, you know, if the thing is working, I don't want an update. I just want it to run as it is. Don't mess with it.
Yeah. And you bring up a great point. So what's worked for us this year is having a supply of Chromebooks available. So if your computer got caught in an update or my hard drive died, the kid doesn't miss a beat. They just come in and check out something from the office, and then they're ready to go for class. And it's this bring-your-own-device model, which works well now. I mean, it wouldn't have worked when I was a kid because those devices cost $3,000 to $4,000.
Well, and the computer weighed about 1,500 pounds, too. You couldn't really drag
it. Every kid would have a cart with an Apple IIc on it. Yeah, yeah, and then an extension cord. Yeah.
Oh, I was thinking more along the lines of...
I'm not as old as you. Yeah, those fill up entire rooms.
I just realized I was setting myself up here for an issue.
Yeah, I'm sorry, sir, but mine were mobile just on carts. Yours were not, without maybe an earthquake.
Yeah.
That might have moved them.
So let's project out 2 years.
Yeah.
Okay, so things are kind of starting to get a little iffy. Some of the new requirements of some of the programs are a little bit more enhanced. Simple upgrades? Or are you looking at a replacement program on those things comparable to textbooks?
Okay, so one major investment this year has been in these titanium Promethean panels. And so they're these gigantic interactive.
Sounds like it comes up out of the ocean.
It does.
And it has a trident associated with it.
They're gorgeous. Once a teacher gets their hands on them. So they're touch sensitive. You could bring the kids into class. Imagine 75, 85 inches of just whatever you want. You know, chalkboard, video, movie, interacting. You know, you're doing a Zoom call with a specialist. We had guest speakers during Black History Month from LA and from Humboldt, and they're right there on the screen, you know, bigger than life. So that those will last years, and then we'll replace them because the new technology will be in. But that's cutting edge, beautiful. You know, you want to bring up a map, you want to have the kids travel through history, it's right there, you know. So that's been a great upgrade for us. But the individual kids and their devices, that's, you know, I think that's just the new norm. You know, a kid has a device.
KINS, News and Information Time, it's 8:42.
The Redwood Region Economic Development Commission wants you to know that local economic development agencies, business resource organizations, financial institutions, and jurisdictions are working together to provide resources for the COVID-19 pandemic. For more information, go to northcoastsbdc.org or call the OES Business Hotline at 268-2527. 268-2527.
Good morning, KINS, News and Information Time. It's 8:46. Final few moments this morning with Paul Shanahan from St. Bernard's. Summertime, you said nobody's, you know, school won't be there. Are you going to be doing any upgrades with the facility during that time, or is a little too far out right now to worry about?
No, this summer would be a great time. So, yeah, we're looking at everything from the locker room, the gym, classroom, windows, the roof, paint. I mean, it's just
Windows won't rattle and shake?
Well,
you're going to lose the experience.
I don't know. With that wind that we've had, I think everyone's windows were rattling.
Yeah, no kidding.
Yeah. So, yeah, no, we're looking to do a lot of facility upgrades for sure. Take care of our home.
I was next door, I think this weekend, I had to make a run. There's nothing like a brand new flag.
Mm-hmm.
It just looks sharp. Yeah, it was a little bit cloudy when I was there, and it stood out neat, and it's like, yeah.
Yeah.
That's the way all flags should be.
Right. No, the wind did a number on our 6-foot by 10-foot flag, and new flag came in this week.
It really is. It's really days happened. Old. Okay.
Yeah. No, it was probably hours old when you saw it.
Oh.
Yeah.
Well, appreciated. How's that?
Yeah.
how are the international kids dealing with all the challenges?
You know, it's country by country. Vietnam's done well, and so we have quite a few Vietnamese students on campus and at home. China's a little bit more cautious right now. It'll be interesting to see what kind of opens up or doesn't. And we look around the world, and it's interesting. You know, I can't travel into Vietnam right now. And yet, you know, they're able to travel out. So we'll see what develops. It's going to be an interesting spring, summer.
Are the kids getting any hassles? You know, we hear about
good question.
Some of
good
that
question.
Stuff.
No.
No more than just being goofy high school kids.
You know, it's funny. I mean, that is one, you know, the level of goofy, especially at the high school, kind of drops. They really appreciate just being together. It's, you know, the community.
Huh.
You know, so it's. They had enough of being home last spring that they're, you know, even now toward the end of the year, they've been phenomenal.
Do you sense that they might be setting you up?
I guess I'd hope for that. Is that wrong to hope for that? That's where their heads are a little bit? But yeah, like I mentioned, you know, Joey's running around the school for 12 hours to raise money for the school. That's the kind of things I have to deal with. Like, okay, Joey, don't get the shin splints. And you know.
Yeah. Oh, you know, you ought to start dropping hints.
No. And just, I think we are doing that right
you're
now.
You're looking yeah. for, or you're paying attention about, and yeah. I mean, those little kinds of things.
No, you know this. You're a parent. The kids, they just rise up, right? Yeah. They rise up to challenge. Whatever. It's just crazy how high the bar has gone and the expectations for our kids. It's just and they do it. They make it.
So putting a certain minivan on the top of the second floor roof would be seen as something that would be rising to the occasion?
Yeah. You know, there's been VW bugs driven down the hallway. There have been four-wheelers parked on the steps. I mean, why not the right. If we're going to replace the roof, might as well just take
make
it out
2021 memorable. Thanks for coming by, bud.
Thanks so much, Brian.
See you everybody tomorrow.